And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And welcome back to our second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, the phone number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Before we get back to the phone lines, we definitely want to check in with our second favorite book, that is Facebook. Please make sure you have liked us at Marriage Beyond the Vows at Facebook.com.
Like us.
Yeah, so Marcos, I know people have some great comments on the topic.
Wow, too many to mention, so we invite you to go ahead and visit our Facebook page. But we posted a comment, question actually, is when things go wrong, who's at fault, the husband or the wife? And it's interesting what some of you had to say. Michelle Adams said, I need more clarity. Are you asking who's responsible, who's at fault? Fault, neither. Responsible, the husband, if I understand correctly. Sharon Prophet says, I think both parties, however, as the man of the household, my husband always feels that he is the blame. Sounds like you got a good man there. Donna Moore says, I'm not married, but usually it's my fiance who holds the fault and blame 98% of the time. All right. And then Lydia Dougherty says, yes, there are three sides to every disagreement, hers, his, and the truth. Without a humble spirit that is willing to listen and work on a situation, it stays wrong. Tiffany Gray says, since God came to Adam because Eve was deceived by the serpent, not Adam, but he willingly took the fruit, or she said the apple from Eve. I'd say that it's basically the man's responsibility to keep it all together. And then Sandy Palmer says, the person in the wrong. That's who's wrong. All right. And then Connie actually replied to Tiffany's comment there. She kind of piggybacked there. She says, well, looking back in the Garden of Eden, when Eve ate the forbidden fruit, nothing happened. But when Adam ate it, their eyes were open to sin. When God came looking for them, the first thing he asked was, Adam, where are you? Man is supposed to ensure women is in obedience. Women are supposed to be submissive. God holds man accountable. For those whose belief system may differ, this may not make sense. Then Michelle Adams, after we answered her question, kind of replied, and she said, okay, it depends on the situation. If it's infidelity, the woman is regardless of who cheated. If it's finances, then the man. All right, some might not agree with that one, but you can feel free to chime in, and many more who've posted on Facebook. Again, we invite you to go to Facebook.com, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, press the like button, and get in on the conversation. And if you need to reach me, Marcos Mercado, here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, you can go to PraisePhilly.com or PraiseCharlotte.com and look for me. Type in Marcos Mercado, and you can send me a message, or you can go to my personal website, www.callmarcos.com, and send me a message. We're going to go ahead and go right back to our calls. We have an interesting call about someone who actually declined. I'll say it again. Declined marriage. She said no to this man. And we're going to find out right now.
Why. All right. So let's go to Felicia waiting patiently. Felicia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for calling.
Good. First, I want to let you know, guys, know that I am a loyal listener. And faithfully, every Saturday, I'm up making sure that I'm listening to you guys. So Woo-hoo! Thank you so much for that.
Well, I'm glad. And thank you so much for persevering. I think you tried calling earlier, and for some reason, we had a bad connection. So you called back again and got a better connection. And so we're grateful for that. So tell us, you declined. You told our producer that you declined marriage.
I did. You know what? Great guy, but I declined because I didn't know me. I didn't know me, and I didn't want to walk into a covenant not knowing who I am. And not only that, there's a lot of challenges growing up. So I carried a bunch of baggage, and I didn't want to go into a marriage that way. You know, like the guest that you guys had there, you know, she talked about selfish.
LaToya Bailey.
Sorry. That was one of the, one of the things, being selfish, not selfish in a sense of, you know, wanting to smother him, but wanting him to smother me. You know, I wanted him to always be up under Felicia, you know. But that has something to do with of my upbringing. It has something to do with missing out on something, so I need him to fill that void. So there was no way I can be selfish enough to be this man's wife, and I didn't even know Felicia. So But to answer your question, what I'm doing to prepare myself as a wife is to fall more in love with Christ. Mm-hmm. I think because when I fall more in love with him, he shows me the real me.
Mm-hmm.
He shows me, Felicia, the truth. I mean, even if it's ugly truth, at least I know it and I can, you know, and I can get help towards it. But I think I believe that's what I'm doing now. That is I'm falling. The relationship I want between me and Christ, I just want it to be a solid before I can have that relationship with a man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question, comment, or more so comment.
Well, it's really good. And Felicia, we do appreciate you listening. And it sounds like you've been paying careful attention because LaToya did mention that. She talked about the selfishness, and a caller right after that mentioned about wanting to smother her man. And then you mentioned that the reverse was true for you, where you wanted your man to smother you. And it was like, this man, and I think you made the right choice in this case, because this man would never be able to fulfill you completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about in an intimate level. I'm talking about in mm-hmm. every way possible, that God has a certain void in your heart that's mm-hmm. only for God. And then there's another void that is for your husband. But you, sometimes people try to fill that void with the wrong person.
Yeah.
Like they want, and my wife and I, we've had this discussion. And one of the things that really attracted me to her was that I realized, you know, there is no way that I am going to meet all her needs, her mm-hmm. spiritual, physical, emotional. Let me tell you, the physical need, okay, that's more of my responsibility. But the emotional need, sometimes her girlfriends can meet those mm-hmm. needs more than I can. Now, I'm not saying I don't try to do that, but there are some conversations, some things that a woman can help my wife a lot better mm-hmm. than I can, because she can relate. And then when it comes to spiritual needs, I mean, I can be there, I can be strong, but it's her relationship with God. She's going to have to wrestle with those things. I can't wrestle for her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can try to wrestle with her, but I can't wrestle for her. And there are some things that I've had to tell my wife, and this is true. Sometimes my wife and I, when we are disagreeing or we are having an argument about something, I have to say, honey, you need to go and pray. I need to pray as well. And mm-hmm. let's just go to the other room and we'll talk in a little while. Mm-hmm. And usually that changes everything because we put God back in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're so upset we can't even pray at that moment. And I tell people, you try to pray at that moment and you're going to start praying at each other instead of praying with each other. And so mm-hmm. it's good to pray separately, but then come together, come back and be humble. And one of the things that my wife and I have done, and we call it fighting fair, is we don't allow the other person to bring something to it. For example, if I'm pointing out something wrong or something that I feel offended by in terms of my wife, then at that moment, she's not pretty much she's not allowed to point things back at me
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. And mm-hmm. so we take turns. We say, okay, if now I'm going to be open, then let me expose whatever I'm feeling. And then later, you know, we'll talk about the other side. But if you try to bring both to the table at the same time,
mm-mm.
you're only going to try to, you know, out argue each other or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Felicia, we thank you so mm-hmm. much for calling. And, you know, I'm sure God knows your heart and he knows the desires of your heart. Right. We know that from Psalm 37:4. And yeah. so you will, you know, find the right man. And hopefully this time around, you know yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. One more question. How do I go back online to listen to this again?
Oh, okay. Excellent. You know, our producer usually puts it online. You know, they have to kind of clean it up, edit it a little bit because we won't have commercials on the.
Oh, okay.
And so once it's online, usually in a few days, you can go to praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado, and you would find the archive shows.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Felicia. You be blessed.
All right, bye-bye.
All right.
All right, take care.
Amaryllis and LaToya, do you any comments about this call?
I just wanted to say that Felicia, in my opinion, she's doing a really awesome job, and anyone else that's listening to her or listen to what she had to say, that she really has taken the time out. And we'll get into that later, one of the key points of preparation is time with God, so that you know what it is that you're looking for. And she had someone who she said was a really good guy and who mm-hmm. said he wanted to be with her, and she said, I'm not ready. And that's important because, you know, down the line, that really could have been a detrimental mm-hmm. issue that would have arose in their relationships. Mm-hmm. So I commend her for that. There are a lot of women that would say, you know what, he asked, and I'm going to say yes, and whatever issues I have, I'll work on them as we go along. But sometimes those issues have to be dealt with beforehand, and she realized that, and I think that's awesome.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Do you think that once you make that decision, I know it sounds like the right decision, but what about if 10 years go by and you're still alone? Don't you feel like at that point it's a temptation to say, man, I should have still married this guy and we could have worked these things out together? Like, what's the big deal? You know, like, we at least I would have been married. At least I would have had someone. Yes, we would have had our rocky moments. Mm-hmm. What do you say to someone who goes through that and then has kind of like some kind of regret or remorse of not making their own decision, even though they felt like they did the right one? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think those temptations are there with almost anything, you know, those issues of regret, wondering whether or not you made the right decision. But more importantly, I would hope that Felicia and anyone else, before saying no or before saying yes, that you went ahead and that you prayed
Absolutely.
About that. And if you prayed about that, then we can't wrestle with the time that we have to allow God to prepare us, if it's 10 years, if it's 5 years, or no matter how long it is. So, you know, that is key. Once you, you know, accept that you have said, you know, no, and that you're standing on that's what God wanted you to do, then you can't get upset with him on the time that it's going to take to get ready.
Well, thank you. And we're going to take a quick break.
Yes,
but
indeed.
Before we go, just want you to know, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the three most important things you need to do to prepare.
And the number to call us is 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning. Welcome back to the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us. Again, the number is 855-454-5905. We have an anonymous caller who's been waiting patiently online, too. Let's get to that caller. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for holding.
Very well. And here we are. We're talking about the different things that we can do to prepare for marriage, specifically what a wife can do to prepare to be a wife. And we have LaToya Bailey here in studio with us, who recently published the book, You're Already a Wife, Long Before the First Date. And also my wife, Amaryllis, is here. And so what is your comment or question for us today?
Well, I got saved as a teenager, and I believe the Lord had given me a word about my husband when I was 14, about a year after I got saved. Mm-hmm. And so ever since then, I have been preparing to get married as much as what I knew how, because mm-hmm. my parents were divorced and those things like that. But I knew about Christian radio and things, and so I would listen to, you know, the family programs. I love Focus on the Family. I love Family Life Today. You know, I've read different books, different things like that, to at least have the mindset and the structure of what a godly family should look like and what a godly wife should look like and what it means to pass your faith on to your children and things of that sort. And so I am a single parent and I'm engaged right now. But, you know, I spent those years long before, you know, I was ever a parent, before I was ever engaged, before I was ever married, to spend that time. But my fiance, who's about 8 years my senior, I feel like he hasn't really spent that same amount of time, or any really that time, really focusing on being married and what a godly marriage should look like and making that same time to study. And so that's just been a point of frustration for me during the process. You know, some of just a lot of things that are not common, are common to me, a commonplace to me, because I've been focusing on that for so long, because I did want to do that successfully and I did want to have a marriage and a family that honored the Lord, where, you know, I wanted to be that beacon on the hill.
Sure.
And I just didn't feel like he had been putting his energy in that same, a lot of his energy in that same direction.
Okay.
I know he's wanted to be married, and even some one of his friends told me that, you know, he had been trying to get married for years, but getting married and staying married are not the same thing. And
absolutely. Well, let me interject here real quick. I want to ask a personal question there. You said since you were 14, you started preparing, but then you also mentioned you have a child. I mean, if you don't mind just speaking a little bit about that briefly, like what happened that you have a child, but you're not yet married?
Well, let's see. To make a long story short, I went through a lot of financial problems and just other things that happened. I was helping out a family member, and in the midst of trying to help them out and different things, they wouldn't, when I had some employment situations, they ended up not turning around and helping me out with, you know, rent and things like that, even though I had been paying rent for that time frame. And so I subsequently was evicted and ended up having my car repossessed and different things like that. And after, you know, a time frame of, after that, going through that and going through some emotional times, a gentleman said he was going to, quote unquote, help me and bless me with a car and all kind of stuff like that. And it was just a really low time for me spiritually, and I did things that I wasn't supposed to do. Even after I had actually been, when I met that gentleman, I had, well, I shouldn't call him the gentleman, but that person, I had actually been celibate for over a year. But just being in the emotional state that I was, ended up falling into that relationship and ended up getting pregnant. And so it's been 4 years now that I've been celibate.
Okay. All right. Well, a few things that I just want to mention there. And again, I appreciate you calling in, and I want to be respectful, but I want to be truthful. And I think that there is something that I noticed wrong with this. You're saying you're preparing to be a wife. You know, in the Bible days, you know, our culture has changed a lot. But in the Bible days, you know, the importance of a woman being married, a virgin, was like so high that chances were your husband would have rejected you if he would have found out that you were not a virgin. Now, in today's culture, it's like almost the norm. It's almost a shocker if you find a woman, and she's, especially if she's, you know, not incredibly young, maybe in her 20s even, and she's not a virgin, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of normal. You know, she was out there or whatever. But I just want to say that part of that preparation is preparing your heart, your mind to make the right decisions. Now, of course, God can forgive us, and he does, and he allows us to start over again. But I think that there is something wrong with that foundation, that relationship with God. And I'm sure this is not an easy question to answer, so I do appreciate you answering it. Mm-hmm. But even in your answering, it sounds like you're still wrestling with the bad decisions that you've made. And you've almost seemed like you were blaming it on other things, and I don't know. But I want to share with you 1 Corinthians 10, because it talks about that you're never tempted beyond what you can bear. Mm. Meaning that God, it doesn't matter how bad things get, you would always have a way out to not have to sin. And so I just mentioned that because it's incredibly important. You know, I was watching the show Shark Tank a week ago or so, mm-hmm. and I love that show. And there was this one woman there who came up with this great idea. The sharks didn't eat it up. You know, they didn't like the idea. But it was a woman who said that she wanted to get these wedding dresses and kind of resell them. And the reason they cut it up, they said, you know, it seemed like a great idea, but a lot of times women prepare so much for that wedding day mm-hmm. that they don't want a used dress. And it just got me mm-hmm. thinking, it's like, wow, if a woman doesn't want a used dress, then how much more do you think a man wants a woman that's pure? And so I just think that it's very important to make sure that we do things God's way. Now, the beauty of it is that when we have a relationship with God, we can be pure all over again. God does forgive us, and we see so many examples of that in the Bible. But we got to make sure we keep that purity, that we don't take advantage of God's grace and say, okay, well, because even when people say that, like being celibate for whatever amount of time, I mean, the goal is to be pure. The Bible doesn't even say, okay, be celibate. It says be pure, meaning that you run from sin. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. You also share just about the steps that you've been taking about preparing, but your concern regarding your fiance. And that needs to be something that it needs to be an alarm going off on you and not ignore it. I think you definitely need to address it mm-hmm. and be willing to lose him if he's not willing to get the help that he needs, because these are signs that this is going to come up even after you get married. What is going to be the next thing that you are preparing for, whether it is buying a house or your plan for the future, the kids, or whatever, fill in the blank. If he's not preparing right now, putting the effort, the energy, 100% like you are, then
there's going to be definitely other issues that will come up after you get married.
And my question would be, why do you want to marry him if you realize he's not really that spiritual?
Well, the thing is that really, we just started counseling last month we had our first counseling session.
Okay, well, good.
And our counseling session in our church is 6 months. He is very teachable and he's humble, mm-hmm. so, I mean, I can appreciate that because, you know, I know that you don't know everything. I don't know everything, but the fact that he's willing to listen and willing to be taught and be discipled,
okay,
you know, that's the thing that's like, okay, as much as you don't know and you haven't been working on this, the fact that he's at least willing to learn and willing to listen to people who are ahead of him, that I can appreciate that. So, I mean, that's almost kind of like a saving grace for him, because if he was hard-headed, we'd been even having this conversation.
All right, that's good. That humility comes a long way, and if he's teachable. Mm-hmm. But one thing I want to encourage you, I say this so often, is make sure that his actions are speaking louder than his words. Like, mm-hmm. if he goes to this counseling session, he's like, you're right, I need to get closer to God, I need to pray more. And then he comes back in, and he's not really praying, then you got to look at that. Now, if he's doing it, or if he's humble and he says, listen, I don't really know how to pray, I don't pray a lot, I only pray for my food, I need some help, and then someone starts helping him and he changes, then that speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden he takes you out and says, you know what, I was thinking instead of just going out to dinner, I was thinking we'll go on a prayer walk first. It's like, wow, this guy is really getting it. He's really trying to lead me spiritually. But look for those signs first. That would be my advice.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
All right.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. The number to reach us, because we still have some time to hear from you, 855-454-5905. We have Maria holding on line 4. Maria, good morning. You're live on the air. Okay, Maria, lost you. I'm so sorry. Okay, let's go to, I think it's Teresa. Is it Teresa? Let's go to Teresa. Good morning, Teresa. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Oh, there you go. Teresa?
How are you?
Okay, good. Our producer told us that you had a question about marriage counseling.
Yes. Okay. So, first I want to say I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm 23, and I recently just got married in September. My biggest thing is I wish that we would have done more counseling. Mm. During our engagement, we did go see premarital counseling for some issues that we had prior to being engaged, and that kind of traveled into being engaged. And it kind of was working on me between praying if this is what God wanted me to do or should I let it go. And then as time went on and we got more into the planning for the wedding, it became, okay, you've already started planning. You've already put your parents' money out there. Just continue praying. Just continue to make sure it gets better. Do what you need to do. We got married, and now we're at the point where we're struggling with our age and also with taking on responsibilities that we know needs to be done as a married couple, and not only a married couple, but as parents. And it becomes a struggle between finances and him not knowing or really wanting to communicate with me on how he feels. And then I find myself pointing the blame at him, and then it not really getting anywhere, because the more I tell him how I feel, the more he shelters himself in. And mm-hmm. we're kind of at the position now where I'm really praying for God to come into our marriage and just kind of open both eyes to see what we need to both do to change to make it to at least a year. It's only been 3 months, and we're already mm-hmm. starting to go through those things where, well, where's, you know, the money going to come through? He's stressing about money, being a good provider. I make more money than him, and I'm trying to still allow him to be the man of the house. And not put in his face that, you know, I take care of this and I'm willing to take care of it, but you have to meet me halfway on something else. If it's not the money, meet me halfway with the kids, meet me halfway with intimacy, meet me halfway with, you know, religion. Like, we have to come together at some point, and that's kind of where we are now.
Okay. Well, first of all, if you don't mind, Teresa, for me to ask you, what city are you in?
Philadelphia.
Okay, you're in Philly. Okay, now, this is pretty interesting, because my wife was 23 when we got married. I was 24. Mm-hmm. And so we went through some of those things. Mm-hmm. That there is still a level of immaturity in your early 20s. Now, I thought I was pretty mature until I got married. And And I'm about to tell you, these are some of the mistakes that I made. Mm. We didn't have a lot of money, and I wanted to give my wife the world. I mean, really. And so we got into financial issues because I wanted to fully furnish our house. We wanted to, you know, we wanted, you know, she learned how to drive and we had two cars and, you know, we lived a certain lifestyle that I felt like some of my friends had, but they were already in their mid 30s, some in their 40s, and they had built that. And I just started, but I didn't, my wife didn't feel good in just having these used couch. We wanted a new couch, you know. Mm-hmm. It's my new bride. Someone had given us a used bedroom set, but we wanted a new bedroom set. So we got into some financial trouble. And what helped is I allowed some mature people in my life to help me, some who've already made the mistake. So if you don't have that, I mean, this is my wife and I, we always offer our time. And I can give you a number. You can reach out to us. We can try to connect with you and your husband, because you do want to make it. I mean, the first year, I tell a lot of people, usually it's the challenge. Sometimes people think that, you know, it's just the honeymoon phase. No, the honeymoon is really just that. Usually it's the honeymoon. And then you come to reality. You're saying 3 months. That's pretty young. But you want to make it for the rest of your life, not just make it through the year. And you want to start making some great decisions now that will pay off later. And sometimes we don't think right. And when we're single, we make very different decisions. Now that we're married, you know, it might not matter to him if he spent all his money and then, you know, went to his mother's house to eat dinner for a week because he ran out of money. But then when you're married and you try to take your wife somewhere because you ran out of money, that's very stressful. And then if you take him to your parents and they're saying, well, why isn't this man taking care of you? I mean, it brings a whole other side to and stress to your relationship that you really don't want.
Right.
All right. Well, if you do want to reach out to me, I'm going to give you a number. And you can reach me at 717-862-VOWS, V-O-W-S, which is 8697. All right.
Okay. And before we disconnect, I just wanted to know if there was, like, any scriptures you guys could offer, because I am getting to the, we are both, we're raised in church. We both go to church every Sunday. And I wanted to get in the practice of praying and doing Bible study with my husband together so that, for me personally, I believe that spirituality in the home brings the home closer, because I've witnessed my parents do it. And that's just something that I wanted, if we're both want to be praying to God to bring himself into our marriage, I feel as though we need to still study and increase our knowledge on the Bible. That's really where the help is too. So if you guys have anything that...
Okay. All right. My wife actually has a great scripture that it can be a great beginning for you to set your heart heading in the right direction.
This is my theme scripture, Teresa. My encouragement, first of all, is I will not encourage you to figure out what scripture or what to focus on for the both of you, because you could only change you. I mean, you could pray for him. But I think, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Wife, in the same way, be submissive to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they might be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wife, that they will see the purity of reverence of your life." And it talks about here, you know, about that your husband will be won over without words, but by your behavior. My encouragement to you is to focus on you and your relationship with God and your relationship with girlfriends that you could talk to. Women that are going to guide you and help you to be the wife that you need to be. And that's one of the things that I had to learn 14 years ago, and said I'm still learning, just making sure that the only person that I could change is me. So my encouragement to you is work on you. And without words, your behavior could help your husband be the man that he needs to be.
All right. Well,
thank you.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for calling. And Felicia, Teresa? Teresa, we thank you so much for calling.
All right. Take care. All right. We have another unknown caller calling in on line 2. Hello, caller. You are live on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? What is your comment or question for us today?
My comment is I am married, and I did not ask God's permission to, I didn't ask God if this person was right for me. I'm seeing signs that this person is not right for me. How do I change that now? How?
Okay. Mm. So you're saying you didn't ask. Well, let me ask you this question first. What makes you feel that way, that this is wrong now?
It just signs that the infidelity of him, it's just not working, and I know it's not, and I'm not in denial anymore. I love my husband, but I love God more, and it's just not working, and I need to know, how do I fix this now?
Okay. Well, I think, first of all, we want to thank you for your courage to even call, to listen to the show, to be honest about this situation. I think, number one, you know, God can fix any wrong. I mean, that's just who he is. So we can never feel like, wow, I messed up so royally that, you know, there's no fixing in this. We don't know what God would use this for. The Bible talks about that he works for the good of those who love him, meaning that he could work in the relationship, or he'll teach you a lesson through it. Some good would come from this. Okay, so that's the first thing. And I think whether you felt like you got God's permission or not, you made your bed, right? You went ahead, you married this man. Now he's your husband. And now you seem, okay, you're married to an unfaithful man. And so you have a choice to make. Can you work through this? Or is it too much to bear, and do you want out? Because you have a way out right now. If he's been unfaithful and you're sure of it, then you can divorce him, you can move on. If you're not sure, or if you want to work it out, then that's your decision and your choice. You just got to ask yourself, can you live with that? Because the two have become one. You and your husband are one now. So the question for you would be, what is it you truly want to do? Because you said you love your husband. Do you want to work at this? Or do you feel like you can't?
I feel like right now I can't.
Okay. Well, you know what? What I recommend, and this is my recommendation, okay, this is my opinion as a man, is that you take a time to separate from your husband. And during that time, you use it to pray. Is your husband that, I mean, do you attend church together? Do you pray together? I mean, what's his status right now spiritually?
Well, we don't pray together. I don't know whether he prays alone. I pray alone, so I don't know whether he prays or not. I really don't know.
Have you asked him to pray?
No.
Okay, because this is what I recommend. I recommend you say, listen, we got some major decisions to make. We got married. Has he admitted to the infidelity?
He didn't have to admit to it.
He was caught?
Yes.
Okay. So he was caught. All right. So he knows that he can't deny this any longer. And 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, talks about, you know, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. It's obvious that he lacks self-control. So you also don't want to make a decision where you're going to, like, set him up to lose. So you don't want this to be a long separation, but I do recommend that you at least take a few weeks to say, listen, we need to be away from each other to pray, and you can pray together, but definitely pray separately, and then come back together and say, are we going to be able to work on this? And that's when you, as a wife, can set the boundaries. You can say, listen, I'm willing to forgive you, but this can't happen anymore, and this is what it's going to take. And I tell you what, I've helped many couples through this. If your husband comes back and says, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, then there's hope. If he starts trying to set the rules and say, well, I feel like you don't trust me. Why do you want me to call you all the time? Why are you always questioning me or where I'm at? He's not ready. He's not really worthy of being someone that can go back into a relationship. And that's the mistake I see a lot of people make, is they try to reconcile too soon instead of giving it that time. All right, so hopefully this helps you, but you have some decisions to make, and I encourage you to make those decisions together as much as possible. But ultimately, you got to decide if you can live with this or you cannot.
Okay, and you said that the Bible verse was what again?
1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. It talks about, basically, it's a scripture we use in terms of separation. It says, you know, not to deprive each other, but in this case, you can do that, and you do it for a time, but again, it should be by mutual consent, meaning that if he's willing to work at this, you can come back together. If he's not, then, you know, he's made his choice.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay.
All right. Be blessed. Thank you so much for calling.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Let's slide on over to line four and speak with David, who has been waiting patiently. David, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thank you all very much. I love this show. My wife listens to you quite often, and she put me on to this show. So,
great.
It's really a blessing.
You have a sounds like you have a good woman. I like her already.
She's awesome. She's awesome. My wife and I, we hold a marriage ministry in our church, and this is such an awesome subject because you're talking about preparation for marriage, and we meet once a month, and I wanted to just add something. Some of it you may have covered already, but I may have just paraphrased it, but some things I would tell anybody, you know, find out the spiritual beliefs of the person you're planning on marrying, whether they are in the church or have no spiritual connection whatsoever. You need to know that before you get married, because what we see is a lot of folks, particularly women, would develop their spiritual relationship quicker than the man. I think you probably hear that a lot.
Absolutely.
But a lot of times it's like, well, you didn't go to church. You know, it's just me and the kids. Well, you know, you probably had a good idea what his spiritual foundation was like before you met him. So that's one thing I would say. Get close to the family of the spouse. You know, find out who you can trust, because you're not in this thing by yourself. When you marry a person, you marry the family. Whether you believe it or not, you become part of that inner circle that your spouse is in before he or she met you. So learn who they are. You don't have to like them. You don't have to love them, but you need to know them. That way you can kind of have an expectation. I would also tell anybody, seek mentorship from a seasoned, transparent Christian. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple in our couples ministry there. They show up religiously. They've been married for almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. And they talk about, you know, the times when they wanted to leave one another. They talk about the financial problems and how they got over it. And while we can't mimic it, it just gives me, you know, it motivates me to see that people are still willing to stay together. 40-some-odd years, I'm 38, you know, they got married before I was even living, so I just learned from them.
Sure.
And then you talked about transparency, Marcos. That is, try to start being transparent early. And I think you mentioned it a while ago. If they can't tell you where they are, or they get defensive, you know, that's a sign.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you're caught. I mean, you should be the most humble, apologetic. I mean, it blows my mind when someone's caught and they're still trying to, you know, call the shots. You're like, listen, you forfeited. I mean, you're out of this. Your wife could tell you to go clean the house, do whatever. I mean, give her the whole paycheck. You know, put a GPS on your ankle, whatever it is. You better do it. And it blows my mind though how when someone is really not repentant, and that goes back to what I share all the time in terms of godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow. Mm-hmm.
Right,
and sometimes
right.
people, they're sorry, but it's not really godly sorrow.
Mm-hmm. And repentance isn't the same as saying I'm sorry. I mean, that's something a lot of young Christians don't get. You know, I think your wife mentioned something earlier, that how God honors he answers the prayers of the righteous. If you're married to someone and that person is not where you should be, or that person doesn't have a connection to God, I would tell anybody, continue to be faithful and don't expect that person to change, because you're doing a whole bunch of changing yourself. Sometimes we do stuff because we want to get a response from the other person. You know, I'm going to church more, so I expect, you know, my spouse to go to church. No, you go to church because you're being faithful to God, because God does answer the prayers of the righteous.
Absolutely.
So I would tell any woman or man that if your spouse is acting crazy and doing something stupid, continue to be faithful in your walk with God. Fix yourself. You know, you got to love yourself, and then eventually that person will change. I think you said it earlier. I think it was in 1 Peter that the wife should carry herself the right way so that if her spouse is not where he should be, then her actions will prick his heart. And it really does work. And then my final thing, and I'll take your comment.
You had a lot to say. That's good. Good stuff.
I'll go ahead and wrap it up. But we have to continue to mentor of our young folks in the church. You know, there's a lot of married people. We come to church every day. We don't know these young Christians. Amen. We got to learn how to mentor them. And this is a great show. I appreciate it, and thanks for giving me time.
Oh, absolutely. And David, quick question for you. You say you lead marriage ministry at your church?
Yes, sir.
All right, great. Look, it sounds like you got some good stuff to share. We appreciate that. I would love to stay connected with you because, you know, especially throughout the different times of the year that I end up going down south or going to Charlotte, I would love to connect. So if you don't mind, I would love for you to send me a message and give me your information so that we can stay connected.
You want me to just inbox you on Facebook?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I like you on your Facebook, on the Facebook page.
You like me already. All right. Well, maybe I'll like you back, man. I appreciate that, David. All right. Sounds great.
God bless you all. Thanks
you
a lot.
Too.
All right. Take care. All right. We have an anonymous caller on line 5. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. No more caller.
Let me just ask a quick question here, because I know right before our last break, I had mentioned about some things we need to do to prepare. And LaToya Bailey, who's in studio here with us, mentioned some things. I know you have actually 5 things that I read here from her book in terms of like really allowing God to prepare you. And maybe you could explain a little bit about the allow, the stop, develop, accept, and realize. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff.
Well, I'll talk about 3 main steps that a person can go through if you've already prayed and you feel that marriage is for you. First thing is really understand and get to know why you want to be married. Why? Ask yourself, and it's a hard question, but ask yourself, where does that desire stem from? Is it because of age, finances, you want to have sex?
I'm just tired of those lonely nights.
You know,
what about
be honest. I think we have enough of that. And really find out, you know, or whether or not you really just, you're ready to be a helpmate. So be honest. The second thing is be honest with yourself, but also be transparent with God. And when I say that, that's the opportunity for you to allow God to hold up that mirror in front of you. And for him to begin to show you and tell you those things in you that have to change. And you know, sometimes that might make you cry. That might make you say, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize that stuff, that junk, you know, was in me. But, you know, you really have to really allow God to tell you that and begin to deal with it with him. And then the third thing, I already talked about that, and so did Amarellis also talked about that. And that's also be intimate with God. Allow that intimate time. Date God. I mean, go on dates, you know, and just have a good time with you and the Lord.
And who pays for the date? I just want to know.
He gives you the money that pays for the date. But, you know, allow him to spend that special time with you so you can find out what you like, what you don't like. Praise him for the little things that he does. Begin to recognize those things. And then you will begin to see where your earthly relationship can go, because you've allowed yourself to get time with the Lord, that intimacy. So those are the 3 things.
Okay, great. Well, we thank you so much, LaToya. And then, honey, what do you think? I mean, we can relate to so much of what people shared, especially in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I know my wife did a great job, I believe, in preparing for marriage. She was sure of what she wanted. Honestly, I wasn't. I was the type of person that I needed to go through some rocky relationships, you know, which I even thought, like, some spiritual women that I thought at the time were perhaps the ones that were for me. I had a relationship right before my wife that we didn't get engaged, but I thought she was the one, and I was preparing to ask her. I mean, I felt like she was the one. I wasn't as far along in that process, but there were some signs that I couldn't ignore and didn't ignore. And so finally I got to that point where I said, you know, this relationship's not going to work. And I broke it off, but emotionally I still wanted it to work. And so we kept trying to see if there was any chance of making this relationship work. And it was a disaster. I just didn't feel like we were compatible. There were just a lot of things. And that's when my wife came into the picture. She was just a young, vibrant, beautiful, single woman. And we ended up leading together in a campus ministry. And she was sure. Like, she was like, she was asking about me. She's like, I really like this guy. I was blind. And now I see, but I was blind. I was trying to hook up my wife with my roommate. That's how blind I was. But she was sure, and I will never forget this one conversation she had with a good friend of ours, and she was like, listen, you know, what about Marcos? And at that point, again, I was thinking about going back with this ex-girlfriend, and this friend told her, she said, well, just know this, Marcos is very clear about what he wants and what he doesn't want. At that point, I was, but I was still confused emotionally, but I knew what I needed, I guess, more than what I want. I guess I knew what I needed. And so then my wife came into the picture, and she was so sure that I was like, wow. So maybe you can just share that real quick. We just have about a minute left on the show.
I think it's one quick, simple thing. You got to be secure. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I never doubted that God will give me my desires on my heart, but I knew for sure I was content in my relationship with God. I felt that I was chosen. I felt precious in His sight. And I knew that if I went after something that was in according to His will, that He will give it to me. And I think oftentimes a lot of women, they want to get their security from men. Mm. And for me, that is something that I still fight for, even as a wife, to make sure that I am confident and that I am close to God and that my security comes from Him.
Mm-hmm. All right, great, great. Well, thank you so much, honey. And I'm so glad that you are a secure woman. And that makes it so much easier to lead you, because it's not about, you know, if you were just insecure back and forth, I don't know if we would have made it this long. And so I'm really grateful. I don't know if we would have got married in the first place, because that's one of the things that truly attracted me about you. So thank you so much for that. And LaToya, before we go, we just have a few seconds left here. If you can please give out some information about this book you wrote titled You Are Already a Wife Long Before the First Date by LaToya K. Bailey.
Yes. All right. Anyone who desires to get the book for themselves or maybe as a gift for someone else, you can get the book on lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com or barnesandnobles.com.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much. And here you go. We would be back next week. We're going to talk about fighting fair.
So get ready for that. Please have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. And much love going out to Ron, our producer down in Charlotte, and our producer for the day, Aaron, here in Philadelphia. Thank you for all that you've done. Have a good one. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.